Welcome back. It's been about a year and a half since we last chatted with the Friends of the Blue Hills Executive Director, Jen Klein. She is back for an update and has brought her development manager with her as well, John Harrell. So welcome to the Friends.
Good to see you both. Thanks for having us.
Jen, good to see you again. John, nice to meet you for the first time. Yeah, but hopefully not the last time.
Won't be the last time, for sure.
Jen, as we talked before the show this morning, first time you were on the program here, you were fresh in the new job.
I was. It was my first or second month on the job.
How's it been going since then?
It's been going great. Since April of 2024, our membership has grown by about 200 members since that time. Our staff has grown by an additional part-time member. We just wrapped up a new strategic planning process. So we'll be publicly sharing our new strategic plan probably in the next month or so.
Okay.
So that's really exciting.
Yes.
So a new three-year plan for the organization. And we've grown our public programming in the park by 70%.
Is that right?
You've been busy. Very busy.
Yeah. Were those some of the goals that you hoped to achieve?
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. Yep. So for the Blue Hills, for those that aren't familiar, it is the largest open space in Greater Boston. 7,000 acres, 125 miles of trails, and yet, even though it's in the heart of, you know, Greater Boston, in the town of Quincy, Milton, Dedham, Braintree, Canton, so many people don't know about it.
I know.
Or they drive through it because Google Maps is sort of routing them, you know, off highway traffic, but a lot of people don't spend time in the park or may not know what there is to do in the park. So it was definitely one of my goals coming in, to engage more people in the park and get them to know not only the park, but who we are as an organization and the work that we do to steward the park and engage that next generation so that that park is around for generations to come, long after I'm gone.
Yeah. What are the Friends? We should maybe start there and tell me a little bit about its mission.
Friends of the Blue Hills. So we are a private nonprofit organization that stewards and protects and promotes the Blue Hills Reservation. So we've been around about almost 50 years.
Okay.
So in 2027, we'll celebrate our 50th anniversary as an organization.
Wow.
Yeah, so we've been around a long time. And we sort of see ourselves as partners to the state, to DCR, to steward and take care of the park. So we steward the trails. We do a lot of trail maintenance in the park. We do a lot of advocacy to make sure that the park stays protected and that resources from the state come into the park to make it the best that it can possibly be. And then we do a lot of public outreach and education to give people opportunities to engage in the park.
Yeah. Do you know about how long it's been a state property, a state park?
So it's been a state park and a state property since the late 1800s.
Is it
so
really?
A long, long time.
Okay.
Yep,
all
exactly.
Right.
So it's one of the first that we had.
Yeah. Always in its current format, in its current geographic area?
So always in its current geographic area, but it has grown over time, yes.
Okay.
Yep.
And obviously it's utilized more probably than it was then as well too, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, it definitely gets heavy use. It's a multi-use recreation area. So you can hike there, cycling is allowed there, paddling sports, equestrian use happens in the park, skiing, so there's a ski hill in the park, snowshoeing, cross-country skiing, I'm probably missing something,
some
rock
fishing.
Climbing, fishing happens. We just had a youth fishing event on Saturday
That's
in
why
the
I
park.
Mentioned it, yeah.
And so there's, you know, endless possibilities, picnicking,
bird
watching, yoga, you name it, it's happening in the park, which is wonderful.
I know one of the concerns that when we talked the last time you were here was accessibility, particularly for folks in the inner city.
Yeah.
To access, because it's close to them.
Yes,
but
exactly.
A lot of them have an obstacle to get to it, right?
Yeah, so we continue to be really, that's a lot of our advocacy work is around getting more access to the park, because even though it's 5 miles as
right
the
down
crow
Blue
flies,
Avenue,
right?
Yeah.
Exactly,
yeah.
Right? You know, a 10-minute drive, if you don't have a car, it's incredibly hard to access the Blue Hills.
Yeah.
But I'm super proud to say that this summer, through our advocacy work in partnership with Mattapan Food and Fitness and the MBTA and DCR, we were able to get a Saturday bus pilot from Mattapan Square to Houghton's Pond this summer. So it ran from June 21st, and it will keep running until October 11th.
Okay.
So Saturday's only for now,
okay.
Which is better than nothing,
yes.
But we're going to keep pushing to make that so that it's any day you want to go to the Blue Hills, you don't need a car to get there.
Well, so great for young families, right?
Yeah.
There's a playground there at Houghton's
playground,
Pond.
Playground, yep, you can go swimming.
Or just relaxing and picnicking on the beach.
Exactly.
So, excellent.
Yeah, for people that don't have a backyard,
right.
I mean, that is their backyard.
Exactly, yeah,
yeah.
Absolutely. And part of growing the Friends is bringing John on board.
Yes,
yeah.
Yes, exactly. Yep, so we welcomed John in January as our new program manager to
excellent.
Oversee all the different ways that we're engaging people in the park and how we're going about our stewardship work in the park.
Sure, so John, maybe tell yes. us a bit about your journey to the Friends of the Blue Hills, how that happened.
Yeah, it's been a real easy transition, especially with staff. Jen, Melissa, and Mary brought me on board, very helpful. And as Jen mentioned before, you know, the increase of 70% of programs that
yes.
we've had.
It's amazing.
We've
yeah.
Really spread, you know, the framework of what we're trying to do here.
Sure.
It's been great.
Yeah, what's your background?
So I just moved from Bozeman, Montana.
Wow.
I worked for the Forest Service out there for 5 years doing trail work. So trail work is my background.
Okay, all right.
We were in the park Saturday doing some trail work with 15 volunteers and got a lot of stuff done.
Yeah.
A lot of volunteers, light work. It's awesome.
Yeah, many yeah. hands make light work.
Exactly.
Yes.
So, are you from Montana originally? Or?
No, I'm from Richmond, Virginia.
Oh, okay.
I've lived in 5 different states since graduating college in Illinois, Massachusetts, Georgia, Montana,
okay.
and here.
Okay.
So.
And what did you study?
Environmental studies.
Okay.
Yep.
Okay. So, what was it that drew you to the Friends of the Blue Hills in particular?
Yeah, so I lived in Hingham for a year as part of AmeriCorps.
Oh.
And a part of being an AmeriCorps, you have to serve. And I volunteered with the Friends of the Blue Hills actually in 2019 doing trail work.
Oh.
So I had a little bit of history in the park. Ended up moving to Bozeman. And then my previous executive director reached out and was like, hey, this job is open. Applied. Here we are today.
And here you are
it
today.
It happened
yes.
so fast.
I bet.
Yeah.
I bet.
Yes.
So what are kind of your goals, you know, what is it you hope to accomplish at the Friends?
Yeah, I think part of one of my biggest goals is just to grow our membership, grow our volunteers,
yeah.
Grow just the vast amount of programs we have in the park. And also something new that we've done this year is create educational programs for schools in the area.
Mm.
So we have our first schools coming out actually in 2 weeks to do some programs that we offer. But yeah, growing, getting the youth out in the park is super, super valuable
sure.
to our organization.
Yeah. yeah. So bring them to you or you go to them? Or
So
or?
Right now, they're coming to us,
okay.
but I think in the future, we want to go to schools. We want to do some presentations, get them out to the park,
sure.
and then go back to the schools and, you know, just discuss what we learned.
Yeah.
And just that partnership with any school in the area we're looking to build.
Okay. So yeah. if a teacher is watching right now or listening
exactly.
and they're interested,
yeah.
they can reach out.
Exactly. Reach out to me, reach out to the Blue Hills, and
yeah.
we'll be happy to get you.
Okay.
Yeah.
Excellent.
Yeah.
Very good. I know that teachers are always looking for new and interesting things
yeah.
For their students
right.
to do. So
and outdoor learning,
right
I mean, you can't beat that.
Yeah,
so,
absolutely.
Yeah.
Another aspect that I know you've been focused on, John, is the issue with brush fires in the Blue Hills.
Right.
Yeah, tell me a bit about that.
Yeah, so November of last year, 2024,
yeah.
We had a 40-plus acre fire that got the attention of the public.
Yes.
It was right on Hillside Street.
Yes.
You could see it from the road.
I have a picture, actually, you can show folks, and there
yeah,
it is. Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It looks scary, especially, if you know, the first fire you've seen is close to Boston, right?
Yes.
So, yeah, with all of the attention that it's got from the public, the users of the park, Friends of Blue Hills and DCR are actually doing a research study. It's a 3-year project. We've got 20 plots spread out throughout, 10 plots in the fire, 10 plots in the control, which is the unburn.
Yes.
And we're using 2 different apps to go out there, data collect on plant species to see what grows back and what we can compare it to.
Okay.
That's in the unburn, the control.
Okay.
And so far we've got 292 total observations alone. That's with like 500 individual observations. So every observation has like 2 or 3 different plant species per.
I see, okay.
Yeah.
So we have some photos of the aftermath of the fire, actually.
Right, you can see Hillside Street here below
yes.
us.
Yeah, okay. So total of 40 acres, you said, was
42.
42 acres
yep.
was burned, okay. Is that considered a major fire?
Fire in the Blue Hills is actually, I would say it's more common than you think.
Yeah.
But it is one of the bigger ones, the most visible one.
Okay.
We've had a fire of over 400 acres in the Blue Hills before.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's a concern, obviously, but we're doing our best to manage it and see what we can learn.
Yeah, what is the hope, actually, from the study once it's completed? What would you do with the data?
So it's a three-year project. There's actually a good picture of us out looking at the plot studies and figure out where we want to make the plots. But
yeah.
There's been very limited research about fires in the New England area.
Yeah.
And we want this to be like something that if fires happen in other parts of the state or New England, they can look at our research and take it and run from there.
An educational
exactly.
Piece of literature. So you're right, though. We don't, it's snowstorms, nor'easters that
right.
we think about around here.
Yeah.
Flooding more often
yeah.
now,
yeah.
unfortunately. But not so much brush fires.
Yeah.
That's
forest
not
fires.
Common.
It's not, right, Jen?
No,
yeah.
no. I mean, if we were talking about California, Washington mm-hmm. State,
Canada,
you know, yeah, right, we'd say, yeah, this happens
it's
all the time.
Right.
Here, not so much.
Yeah.
And so, as John was saying, there's not a lot of data for us to look at and,
yes.
and to understand what this means for the future,
yes.
for the park, and for greater New England. So that's what makes this study so interesting, because we're living in, you know, we're living through climate change right now, mm. and how does that impact the park and ecosystems all around us?
Yeah, well, we were talking before the program also about the drought situation,
yes.
right?
Yes.
So if those conditions persist and that becomes more the norm,
correct.
We're going to see
more
fires.
Vulnerable to this, yes,
yeah.
exactly.
So education is key and knowing where we're vulnerable and how to respond.
Exactly.
Because as you mentioned, it's right smack dab in the middle of an urban area
yes.
With a lot of vulnerable properties
yes.
And people who are not experienced with fires, you know,
right.
including the fire services too.
Right, right, so. Exactly.
Okay, so three-year study, John?
Yes.
Okay.
We're wrapping up our first year in about a month.
Okay.
We've got 20 volunteers dedicated once a month,
yep.
go out for an hour at a time, use iNaturalist, take a picture of the species and upload it to our app that we're using to track it.
Okay.
It's pretty cool.
It's modern technology.
Yeah,
yes.
You can't do it without our volunteers.
Yeah.
Well.
Do you need more volunteers?
Always.
Always.
You know,
yeah.
can never have enough.
Sure. Jen, how many Friends of the Blue Hills are there now?
So our membership, we have about 1,500 members
oh, okay.
at this point.
Excellent.
Yeah,
right.
yeah, which is great. And as far as volunteers go, I have no idea what that number is now.
We're doing our best to track, but I would say it's easily in the 300s, 400s. So it's
yeah.
Super. The ranges. You can table. You can do trail work, invasive species work. We actually have an invasive species project today. You name it, tabling. Office management.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Always
Writers,
looking for yeah. volunteers because I mean, we have some volunteers that might volunteer twice a year, and that's kind of all they do,
that's okay.
and that's fine.
Okay.
We have a need for that, and then we also have volunteers that are with us every week,
yeah.
An hour a week, 2 hours a week, whatever people are willing to give. We have projects, and it can be trail work, it can be helping with fire studies, mm. it can be helping us in the office mm-hmm. with. You know, stuffing envelopes and making copies and those sort of things too.
Yeah.
So
where's the office, by the way?
Our office is in Canton.
Okay.
Yep.
All right.
Yep.
So, but when you have events, you have them on site, right?
Yep. All of our. Yep.
Hills.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yep. Yep. Our office is, you know, once in a while we'll have a training at
okay.
our office in Canton, but, you know, our office is an office building. Nothing. Nothing too interesting to see there.
Right.
But we
yeah.
try to do all of our programming. Physically in the park.
On site, right?
Yep.
Yeah,
yep.
Exactly.
Yep.
How does one become a friend of the Blue Hills?
Yeah, so to become a friend, you go to our website, friendsofthebluehills.org, and you'll click the link that says join, and you can join for $30 a year, mm-hmm. and or you can join as a sustainer, mm-hmm. just like other nonprofits, and that gets you in.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. That gets you access to all the programs.
That gets you access to all of our programs.
Yeah.
So the majority of our programs are free.
Okay.
Some of them are free for members and have suggested donations for non-members.
Sure.
Like some of our upcoming programs, like this Thursday is our annual celebration.
Yes.
Which is our biggest and only fundraiser in person for the park that we do every year. It's happening at the Irish Cultural Center in Canton. $60 gets you in the door for food, so dinner, dancing, silent auction. We have well over 40 silent auction items, all from local businesses around from Quincy, Canton, Milton, Dedham, Braintree, and Randolph. And there'll be a DJ, dancing, games. It'll be amazing. So if you love the Blue Hills, please, you can still get tickets for that.
All right.
And then our annual sunset hike is happening on October 11th.
October 11th?
Yeah.
You're taking the lead on that?
Yeah. So I'll be putting that together. Okay. As Jim mentioned, it's free for members and then a suggested donation. A suggested donation of $10. Live music up at the top of the Blue Hills Observatory. You hike up. It's about a 30-minute hike up from the parking lot to the top.
Red Dot Trail.
Okay. Exactly.
Red Dot Trail.
There's multiple ways to get up there. Just enjoy the music, watch the sunset over the ski hill, and hike your way down.
It's a pretty special event. Yeah. It's the one time that you can be in the park after sunset.
Yeah.
And to get that chance to have a concert, sunset, bring a picnic. And a lot of our local park partners will be there, like Trailside Museum, Brookwood Farm, the Observatory. So it's a chance to do a lot of things that day.
Yeah, nice. The view on a clear day is
amazing.
Yeah.
Amazing. On a clear day.
You can see about 90 miles to the west.
You can see Mount Monadnock.
Easily.
Absolutely. Exactly.
And of course, Boston Harbor.
Correct.
Right in front of you, and the city skyline as well. So it really, when you get to the top there, it really defines the reservation, I think, because you get the urban, but you also get the rural, and the swivel of a head.
Yeah, right, right. You really get that sense of how special this place really is.
Really, very much so. Yeah, absolutely. Going forward, next year, do you have some longer-term goals you're working on, Jen?
Next year, like I said, we'll launch our strategic plan, our new plan in January. Mm-hmm. So that will call for, we'll continue to increase our programming. Mm-hmm. That's continues to be a commitment for us as an organization. As John mentioned, working with schools and school programming is going to be something else we're working more on. We've had more and more teachers sort of reach out to us and say, hey, we want to bring our kids out.
Like elementary even, right? Or
elementary, middle school, high school.
Okay.
Yep, exactly. So that will be something to look out for next year as that continues to grow. And then continuing that transportation work. So like I said, we're super happy to have that pilot for Saturdays only. We're really pushing hard now to get transportation access to the park 7 days a week, particularly in the summer and fall when the park is most busy. And then we're also looking at what are some other ways that you can get to the park that don't involve a bus and don't involve a car. Are there ways to work with our partners to build greenway, and bike path,
bicycle paths,
connections?
Sure.
Yep.
About folks who are disabled, Jen? I mean, I'm sure you've thought about that.
Yes, absolutely. So we're continuing to work with DCR to do some auditing in the park to see where can we build out more accessible and adaptive trails.
Right, yeah.
And it'll be a mix of those two things. So a classic accessible trail would be something that, someone in a wheelchair, could easily navigate, someone in a stroller, young families with children. And then the other side of that is adaptive recreation trails. And that's for folks that may have more all-terrain wheelchairs or all-terrain bicycles that don't want to be on an accessible trail. They want to experience the Blue Hills just like any of us would.
Just walk in the woods, right?
Right? But as the trails are now, still not meeting that criteria.
Yeah, okay.
So we do have some irons in the fire, if you will, of how to build those out.
Okay.
As well.
All right. Good.
Yeah.
I knew it was on your list.
Yeah.
Sure,
exactly.
So. And the Trailside Museum at the foot of the Blue Hills is accessible. So folks
Exactly. And there is a up at the observatory too. So if you get a special permit to drive up to the observatory, there is some accessible trails. Up there as
so
well.
There are some options available.
There are. But we're working on there to be more.
Good. Website's the best place, right?
Website's the best spot.
Yeah.
You can join as a member on our website. Our calendar, that's kind of our hub to find out all things that are going on in the park. If you want to help do some trail work or if you want to attend a hike or a program, calendar is kind of the the place to
sure.
go.
Okay. Thank you both. Great to talk to you.
Yeah, thank you, Joe.
You're very welcome.
Wonderful
Please
be
back.
Back
for an update.
Yes. Thank you.
Thank you for having us.